This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now, with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The Turks are fleeing from Turkey. The Menashe, B'nai Menashe, are fleeing from northern India. The Jews are fleeing from France, and history is in the making. I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Indeed, those making Aliyah, that means to go up, are increasing from around the world, not yet from the West, that is North America, but from Western Europe and from the East. And we're seeing biblical prophecy marching forward inexorably toward the final events of world history. And so today, we want to take a look at those developments, not just the Aliyah, but we also want to take a look at the status concerning the so-called peace efforts, not only with Iran, but also primarily with the Palestinian Authority. Today is going to reveal to you how far along we really, really are. And as John Kerry has said, America's Secretary of State, we're closer than we have ever been in years to Israel and PA peace. Well, new revelations on Kerry's Israel plan reveal perhaps profound deception at the root of America's efforts to bring about peace. We're going to take a look at that here today on Viewpoint. We'll take a look at the rising anti-Semitism, even from the New York Times. We'll take a look at the baseless hatred of the EU and the nations rising against Israel, and even see where the Vatican now is taking more and more place in the developments of prophecy before our eyes. So I trust that you will stay tuned. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, Talk That Transforms. Now, I'd like to share with you, as we launch into today's program, some introductory paragraphs from my latest book, King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic End Time Battle. This preface is called The Tapestry of History. And as a Greek philosopher once said, the time for extracting a lesson from history is ever at hand for those who are wise. Let me repeat that. The time for extracting a lesson from history is ever at hand for those who are wise. And that is the reason why, hopefully, you have joined here on Viewpoint to become wiser with regard to the broader developments of our world, our time, as it relates to biblical prophecy, as it relates to our increasing anticipation of the blessed hope of the church, the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Mashiach, the Holy One of Israel. And indeed, history is an elusive thing. While the facts and occurrences, places and events in the footsteps of our human forebears are fixed in time and place, recitation of these details, however knowledgeable and seemingly perceptive, reveals little of their individual or collective implication. On the other hand, we're continually reminded that the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. And we are further warned that those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So what then are we supposed to do? How are we to learn from history? Are we inevitably doomed to repeat it despite persistent warning? And is it the facts of history we are destined to repeat, or is it the patterns that are driven by underlying forces? Historical interpretation lacks certainty. The most insightful efforts to discover and define the driving forces and direction of history in the final analysis become little more than informed opinion that becomes deformed by viewpoints, both individual and cultural, that spin the reality of facts and occurrences into a tapestry portraying the predilections of the philosopher, historian, or politician. In our current age, where the doctrines and dogmas of political correctness, multiculturalism, and religious pluralism have been granted near absolute authority as the screen through which all reality has to be filtered, the task of interpreting history with any measure of intellectual integrity has been rendered nearly impossible. The question then remains, therefore, whether there exists any more hopeful, reliable, and even more objective way to study and interpret the last 6,000 years of the record of mankind upon our planet. And if so, would it make a shred of difference in the direction, disposition, and destiny of the nations and of the world's individual inhabitants? Is there a well-defined and perceptible tapestry of historical truth emerging that might guide us all in this most dangerous time? Fascinating questions. And so we continue. A tapestry of truth is emerging. Indeed, the threads of time and the colorful times and events woven therein over 60 centuries last past are even now revealing an emerging pattern that has been discerned and described by prophets for at least 35 centuries. These patterns and their prophetic significance have largely escaped the attention or have been blindly ignored by both the poor and the powerful, by prognosticators even as we teeter on the precipice of global conflagration. So, this is our moment of truth. The leaders of the nations are trembling. The peoples of our planet are terrified. Nothing seems certain except chaos. The lust for power and petroleum have catapulted the planet to the precipice of a chasm so sheer as to shake the confidence of the most courageous. Is there any perspective that might shed a ray of hopeful light in the encroaching darkness? Indeed, this is our moment of truth. We are languishing in the valley of decision without genuine direction. Destiny is riding in the balance. So please join us on the fascinating journey back through time so as to grasp more effectively the solemnity of our time. Time is short, so we must proceed quickly. The prophets of times past will point the way even as we grope in darkness. The picture that will soon emerge will either leave you awash in unprecedented hope or in unfathomable horror. We must be on our way. Two pages, the leading pages, the preface of my new book, King of the Mountain, the eternal epic end time battle for he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world. This book unveils the pattern of 6,000 years of human history and then carries it back before human history to the heavens, to the ultimate battle between Lucifer, the anointed cherub that covereth, the greatest, most glorious being ever created, and his battle with the Creator himself, where he declared, I will be like the Most High. I will ascend. Indeed, the nations of the earth now are co-opted by that Lucifer known as Satan, seeking to ascend to displace the Holy One of Israel. Today we take a look at one aspect of that development.
Believe it or not, God has a secret. It's a life-changing, destiny-determining secret. It is God's secret because the Bible says it is. Yet, God wants to disclose his secret to all who will seek it. Discovering this secret unlocks all of God's blessings and promises, both on earth and for eternity. Unfortunately, this secret has been nearly lost over the past two generations, even in our churches. Yet, recovering it is America's only hope. That is why Chuck Chrismeyer's new book, The Secret of the Lord, is critical for this unique moment of history. A prominent pastor calls The Secret of the Lord compelling, a must-read for every Christian who loves America. Get your copy of The Secret of the Lord today, just $20 for this hard-bound, hope-giving book. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA, that's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or order online, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. So important is God's secret that it is God's final message to our planet. Get your copy today.
Well, Well, it's indeed a privilege to come before you here as we wrap up an old year, that is a year that is passing away, and begin the process of preparing the way to enter a new year that very well could project upon the screen of history and prophecy some rather astounding developments. And so, we take a look at where we stand now so that we will have a better ability to understand where things are going and likely to go in the next 365 days following January 1st, and perhaps for the additional 365 days following that. In other words, for the years 2014 and 2015. I cannot overstate to you the importance, the solemnity of these coming 2 years. Please, please do not think that these coming 2 years are just business as usual. If you do, you will be sucked in to the deception that is going to engulf and already is engulfing our world. The first deception has to do with the ability of mankind to bring peace between the Muslim world and Israel, or between the Palestinian Authority and Israel, or between Israel and Iran, each of those representing an aspect of the great battle, the enduring battle that goes back centuries and centuries and centuries, in fact, millennia in human history. And it ultimately, it becomes the battle for King of the Mountain. Indeed, if you have not gotten my book, King of the Mountain, you must get it, my friend. You must get it. It's going to reveal to you things that you never even dreamed. In fact, it is going to give you a series of aha experiences as you trace through, hop in your chariot, and go back through history. I tell you, there are a lot of bumps and so on along the way, but you are going to have a mind and a heart full by the time you are through, and you're going to understand where things are going and why they're going there. Your gift of $20 or more to Save America Ministries will put King of the Mountain in your hands. Just call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. You're writing a check at $4 for postage and handling. You can get it on our website, saveus.org. www.saveus or saveus.org. Now, again, I want to tell you that if you want to make this book available to your friends, people that you value, your family, what a great way this would be to launch off the new year. Because I tell you, this book is going to reveal to those that you hold dear, people you value in your life, your family, your children, your spouse, other relatives and friends, neighbors, your pastor. It is going to open their eyes to help them to see what is developing, why it's developing, and to help them to orient their lives and the lives of those that they care about for these tremendously difficult and challenging times that are going to come upon the earth. So, if you want to get multiple copies, if you order 8 or more copies, we will provide you with a 30% discount. Now, if you order a case lot, which is 24 copies, we will give you a 45% discount. Now, why do we do that? Because we want to get the message out as quickly as possible. And when you help get the message out, then those who receive the book from you then can also be carriers of getting the message out. This is the viral means. This is the God-ordained means for getting his message out. Yeah, We're using technology here to begin the process, but the better way, as you well know, that word of mouth is the very best advertising. So I urge you to do that. If you want to get in on a larger quantity of books and obtain those discounts, you'll have to call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. We don't make those available on our website, saveus.org, but you would have to call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. Now, before we go further, because I don't want to have to interrupt the program with a lot of talk about housekeeping things, I must remind you again, however, that as of a week ago, our bank account was at zero. I was informed that our bank account was at zero with all of our bills paid. Now, that's not a very good place to be. Yes, it's good to have your bills paid, but when you realize there are going to be another slew of them starting to come in over the next few days, and a reserve of resources is not there to cover them, it becomes necessary for me to advise you that unless we have a very significant outpouring of response, encouragement, both prayer and financial support from our listeners, we are in a position where we are going to have to seriously consider whether we give notice to one or more of the radio stations that we're on, and it could risk also our internet exposure, which means our total listenership. We do not want that to happen. We know that so many of you virtually set your clocks by this program. You tell us how much you value it. And I tell you, we have to rely upon a relatively small group of people, comparatively speaking, in order to keep afloat. It just is that way. You know what they say? They say 80% of the people do 20% of the people do 80% of the work, no matter where it is, whether it's in your church. And it's also true that 20% of the people virtually finance ministry for 80% for the rest of the people. I hate to have to put it that way, but that's really the way things are. And so I leave that with you. Again, you can write to us, Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. You can call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or you can go on our website, saveus.org. And I might indicate that any gifts, donations that we receive or that are posted by the end of the year will be credited for tax purposes and accounting as of 2013. So all that having been said, we move forward with developments before us, which are actually quite astounding. They're historical. And I'd like to begin with direct fulfillment of biblical prophecy. You say, how do you know it's direct fulfillment? Because this is exactly what the ancient prophets foretold. They foretold that God, in his infinite mercy and care and love and fulfillment of his covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that after 2,700 years of serious discipline for disobedience and for rebellion and walking away from his covenant and from his love, that he would begin to bring the people back. He would bring them back to the land that had been given by God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as a permanent and everlasting covenant. And since we know that the Jewish people were dispersed, beginning with the 10 northern tribes back about 2,700 years ago, dispersed into Assyria, and then from there throughout the then-known world. We call them the 10 lost tribes. And then 135 years later, Judah and Benjamin also were taken captive by the Babylonians. And then in 70 AD, the Romans made a final do of the whole thing, destroyed Jerusalem, as Jesus has said, left not one stone upon another, and many of the Jewish people, that is, those of Judah and Benjamin, who survived the debacle of the Roman general Titus ravaging through Judah and Jerusalem, they were taken captive to Rome. To Rome. Rome is where the Vatican is. They were taken captive to Rome, together with the treasures of the temple, the gold menorah and candlesticks and the treasures of the temple and the wealth of the temple, which was used, much of the wealth of the temples was used to build the Roman Colosseum. Are you beginning to get the picture? Now, God had foretold that in the last days, the nation of Israel would be reborn in a day. Who could possibly imagine that a nation would be reborn in a day, said, I believe it was the prophet Isaiah. And so, indeed, that happened, May 14th, 1948. Then God said he would bring the people back from the north, the south, the east, and the west. He brought them forth, just as the prophet said, from the north first. About 1 million came through from Russia, where the pogroms had made life miserable for the Jewish people for centuries. And then they began to come from other places in the world, the north, the south, the east, and the west. Now they're coming from the east. How do we know that? Well, here is the most recent announcement. It came today from Israel National News. Tears flowed freely as a group of 38 B'nai Menashe, descendants of a lost tribe of Israel, were greeted by relatives at Ben-Gurion Airport after making Aliyah yesterday from India. The immigrants, who hail from the northeastern Indian state of Mizoram, were brought to Israel by the organization which recently received permission from the Israeli government to bring 900 B'nai Menashe to the Jewish state over the next 15 months. Now, in other words, part in 2013 and the rest of these 900 in 2014. Notice the years, 2014 and then 2015. We'll get to that. The B'nai Menashe or Menashe are descendants of the tribe of Menashe or Manasseh, one of the 10 lost tribes of Israel, which were exiled by the Assyrian Empire after the death of King Solomon more than 2,700 years ago. Shave Israel chairman Michael Freund called it an historic moment. The B'nai Menashe braved 27 centuries of exile, and just as the prophets of Israel foretold, they are now coming home. The flight was sponsored by the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem. Mr. Freund said that his organization plans to bring another 120 B'nai Menashe on Aliyah, that means to go up, to return to the Holy Land, to return to the Land of Promise, next month. More than 2,000 B'nai Menashe now live in Israel, and there are another 7,000 still in India, all who want to move to Israel. Friends, it's happening just as the prophets foretold, and it is increasing. Israel now is opening her heart, opening her hand, and extending a welcome into the home that is to the promised land, to these lost tribes, and also to Jews around the world. And that brings us to the next report. The Israeli government now is planning a new program to encourage French Jews to make Aliyah. That report came out today. We'll talk more about that after the break. French Jews now, Western Europe, coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We'll see what's happening with the French in a moment. Well, you know, viewpoint does determine destiny. There's no question about it. And none of our viewpoints are neutral. Your viewpoints concerning history are not neutral. Your viewpoint concerning prophecy is not neutral. And as always here on this program, we seek to bring a cohesive pattern together, taking the issues of our time, whatever they may be, in this instance, prophecy, in this instance, the developments in Israel and around the world, even with the U.S. and our involvement there, bringing them all into perspective in the context of biblical prophecy. And you're going to see how indeed these do fit. And these are just a microcosm of the developments that are taking place. Many of those developments you can find in my book, King of the Mountain, far more than we could ever begin to talk about here. In fact, many of the things that we're talking about here today are only very indirectly related to the battle for King of the Mountain. Oh, when you read about the things that are directly related, it's enough to cause the hair on the back of your neck to stand up for the next 60 days, if even then you can get it down. King of the Mountain. In fact, if you want to get a copy of the book, your gift of $20 or more to Save America Ministries, we'll put it in your hands. Just call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Go to our website, saveus.org. You say, well, why do you keep repeating that? Because this is an hour program, and many people are not able to listen to the whole program, and they tune in at various portions during the hour. That's the reason. And it's so important that they get a copy of this book. Now, let's go back to Arutz Sheva, Israel National News, government to encourage French Aliyah. Tens of thousands of French Jews emigrated in 2013, that is this year, to London, Canada, and the United States. By comparison, just 3,000 French Jews emigrated to Israel this year. So the goal now is to strengthen French Aliyah. That means to go up or return to the land will depend on three factors: finding work for the new immigrants, finding appropriate housing, and providing quality education. So to realize these goals, the Israeli government is set to provide significant aid to new French immigrants. And that includes easier license transfers for professions like accounting, medicine, and so on, greater allowances for business owners to open branches on Israeli soil. The program is going to be limited to 3 years. Now, I want you to say 3 years. I want to drive this period of time into your mind. 3 years. The target is to double the number of immigrants each year, 6,000 in 2014, 12,000 in 2015, and 24,000 in 2016. Now, anti-Semitism has been rocketing, skyrocketing in France. Incidents, anti-Semitic incidents rose 58%. Last year alone. All right. Why this three-year period? Why do I ask you to seriously consider it? First of all, this really began in 2013. As you can see, with the B'nai Menashe or Menashe, with so many others, French leaving France, going to London, Canada, the United States, and then also to Israel. Ultimately, they're all going to make their way, or almost all of them are going to make their way to Israel. But why these years? Because virtually all of the focus, the international focus of international laws, projections, political aspirations are all framed around this three-year period. Especially 2015. Now, you need to think about the implications of this. I cannot give you a thus saith the Lord concerning these particular years. But what I can say is that they certainly look suspect with regard to biblical prophecy and the implications of Jesus' words when he said that these things would all be fulfilled within a generation. Now, if you were to take 70 years, the biblical length of a man's life, 70 and 10, and add it to 1948, it would take you to 2018, wouldn't it? If you were to back off 7 years from 2018, as if perhaps that might have been the period referred to by the prophet Daniel as the 70th week of Daniel, it would take you to 2012, approximately. So, when you add up those years through the year 2018, the midpoint of those years is around the end, the middle to the end of 2015. Now, given what you know about biblical prophecy, which I hope is more than the pagans, that should begin to speak volumes into your mind concerning why we bring such a significant focus and increasing solemnity to our conversations on these issues on this program and have over the past 18 and a half years. Now, with that having been said, we want to go to the supposed peace efforts in the Middle East and particularly those related to the Palestinian Authority, PA. This report comes from, it came on the day, Christmas Eve, from Israel National News, new revelations on John Kerry's Israel plan. He's suggesting that the Israeli Defense Force use drones to monitor Judea and Samaria with a withdrawal of Israeli citizens from Judea and Samaria. His plans, that is Kerry's plans, reportedly give Israel temporary control of the Jordan border, soon shifting control to the Palestinian Authority. The IDF would patrol the length of the Jordan border for the first few years of the U.S. plan. First few years? And he's talking about this plan could go into effect by the end of May or June? Are you beginning to see the same period of time, a few years, maybe two, maybe three, maybe four, somewhere in there? This aspect of Jordan Valley withdrawals in stages, it says over 5 to 10 years, matches the contents of Kerry's secret plan that was revealed earlier this week. Israeli withdrawals in the plan appear to include large parts of Judea and Samaria, as the new report mentions Kerry's intentions to build a massive border fence in the area. Regarding the security threat of what is feared by many to become a terror state in Judea and Samaria, Kerry's plan would have the IDF, that's the Israeli Defense Force, deploy drones over the area to monitor terrorist activities and gather information. That apparently is what he's been talking to or alluding to as creative security solutions. But I want you to listen to these words very carefully. Analyst Mark Langfin has called this plan a death trap for Israel. A death trap for Israel. Now, if you have any knowledge about biblical prophecy, those words should literally jerk your head violently almost, or certainly your attention, because they seem to sound an awful lot like what the prophet Isaiah said about a peace agreement that would come into fruition in the end times. He said, that is, Isaiah said, that it would be, from God's viewpoint, a covenant with death. That Israel would enter into a covenant with death. And here's this analyst, Mark Langfin, calling it a death trap. Now, that's pretty serious language. Now, moving further to see where all of that stands. Again, from Israel National News of Ruth Sheva, Kerry, John Kerry, to force security plan on Netanyahu. Force the plan? You heard it. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry appears to be pressing a national plan devised in Washington, D.C., that's Barack Obama, upon Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The proposal comes as part of peace talks with the Palestinian Authority and includes uprooting Jewish communities from the Jordan Valley. In other words, Judea and Samaria, which, by the way, is the center of biblical Israel. The plan, with which a Ruth Sheva analyst Mark Lanfin has called a death trap for Israel, would let the country for 10 years partially retain a 9-mile-wide strip of the Jordan Valley as a security zone. In fact, the plan doesn't even meet the minimum defensible Israeli borders as determined by the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff in 1967. Even according to military realities at that time, which are far more serious now. According to the report, Netanyahu did not rule out the plan and said he was ready to accept parts of it, but only if Israel's serious concerns about security are accommodated into the plan. In this way, it is thought that Netanyahu tried to shift U.S. pressure onto Defense Minister Moshe Yaalon, perhaps expecting Yaalon to be able to shelve the plan. Deputy Minister, member of the Knesset, Ophir Okunis, strongly rejected the idea of uprooting communities in the Jordan Valley. Now, you know what happened when they uprooted the communities in the Gaza Strip. 10,000 Jews were taken out of the Gaza Strip. They tore down their homes, removed them, and guess what happened? The Gaza Strip became a terrorist source against Israel. And Israel had to go back in there and wage battle to try to calm the rain of the rockets coming from the Gaza Strip, only to be told by Europe and the rest of the ongoing world that they were overreacting. So Israel can't win. Now, this member of the Knesset, Ophir Okunis, said, "We need to say it will never happen. In the valley, that is the Jordan Valley, a distance of 43 miles from the Mediterranean Sea, the pioneers settled in our generation," he said. "There is no demographic problem because the Palestinians didn't even settle there," he said. Now, we're going to go all the way back to Egypt in just a few moments. I hope you'll stay tuned because it'll help us to understand the dynamics that are taking place right before our eyes.
When Jesus described the times leading to his return, he warned that pestilence would ravage the earth. And we're now in those times, and medical experts are warning of plagues, viruses, and life-threatening conditions for which antibiotics are either losing effectiveness or have no effect. MRSA is one of those, even ravaging our hospitals. So what can we do? Amazingly, a new technology called Silver Sol has recently been discovered, and this technology is so good and so effective in responding to these conditions that it's even been patented. And it comes in both liquid and gel form. For the safety of your family, I want to urge you to look at Silver Sol. Go to our website now, saveus.org, and get more information. Then order yours today. That's saveus.org or call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Do it today. Don't delay.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. We're talking about the very significant developments taking place right before our eyes this very week in the Middle East, in Israel, and also on these shores across the Atlantic, coming from Washington, D.C., and the Obama administration that has absolutely no affinity for Israel or the Israeli people, and has proved that over and over again, notwithstanding all of the rhetorical comments about having Israel's back. Now, we go back to the article Kerry, John Kerry, forcing a security plan on Netanyahu. And I want to go back to the comments made in response by Deputy Minister, a member of the Knesset, Ophir Akunis, who rejected the idea of uprooting communities in the Jordan Valley. He said, when the Jewish nation returned to its homeland after its exile in Egypt over 3,000 years ago, as recorded in the Bible, it entered through the Jordan Valley. He said, we must not agree to concessions, withdrawals, or expulsions, not in the valley and not in any other place in our country. Now, why can he say that with such solemnity and apparent courage and conviction? Because that's exactly what the Bible says. God gave the meets and bounds, that is the legal description of the land, to Abraham, confirmed it in his son Isaac, and reaffirmed it in his son Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. The meets and bounds, the legal description from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates in the northeast and to the Mediterranean, all of that land, and Israel doesn't even begin to occupy all of it right now. But she did. She did under King David, who unified north and south, the 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes, and it was called the United Kingdom. Can I suggest to you that there is one coming who will rule upon the throne of David, and he will again unite the kingdom, and he will rule over that kingdom, and Israel, the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, will indeed occupy the land that God swore unto Abraham by his own name so that it could not be broken. It's going to happen. And when Yeshua, the Lord of the church, the Holy One of Israel, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Anointed One, when he comes and rules and reigns, he is going to rule and reign over a united Israel. Now, not only is he going to rule and reign over a united physical Israel, but he is going to rule and reign over a united spiritual Israel. For as it is written, they are not all Israel which be Israel. In other words, from God's viewpoint, the real substantive Israel that has always been on God's heart matches the life and faith of Abraham. It was to Abraham, because of his faith, that God imputed righteousness to him. Therefore, all of those, whether Jew or Gentile, who will live by the same faith of Abraham, are grafted into physical Israel, so to speak, but as a spiritual grafting in, and become part of the ultimate spiritual Israel that God had in mind, who will inherit not just the physical promised land, but the ultimate promised land that that physical promised land represents. Whether you want to call that heaven, whatever you want to call it, but it is going. There is going to be a uniting of all peoples grafted in by faith to Abraham. Now, if you don't walk by faith, you won't be grafted in. If you don't receive Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church, if you do not receive him, the Messiah of Israel, if you do not receive him as your Messiah, as your Savior, as your Lord, you will not be grafted in. That's why it's so important for us to face these facts on the ground, because they are running in parallel tracks with the spiritual development and the second coming, the anticipated second coming of Jesus, the Messiah. Now, Israel, the Jewish people, face a very difficult conundrum in this regard, because the majority still reject the idea that he came the first time, reject the idea that he was the Messiah, and are still looking for a Messiah. They missed him the first time, and most will miss him the second time, until Israel's ultimate existential moment is confronts them, where their very existence, the very existence of the nation of Israel and of the Jewish people, period, is on the line like never before in human history. Far worse, by the way, than the Holocaust of Nazi Germany. And only those who survive that, who turn to Yeshua, who turn to Jesus, they will recognize him. The prophet Zechariah, right there in the Tanakh, tells us exactly what's going to happen. They will look upon him whom they have pierced and will be in such mourning that they can't even mourn collectively. They can't even mourn as families. They can't mourn in a synagogue. They're going to mourn separately because of the intense grief, realizing that they have failed to embrace their Redeemer, failed to embrace their Savior, their Messiah. But God will fulfill his promise to Abraham by faith through that remnant who will, in that existential moment, turn and finally embrace the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth, who says to the Jewish people and to all of us, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like blood and so on, they shall be as wool." He also says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul." Friends, this is the moment of truth. It's all coming together. This business about a security plan and talk about the Jordan Valley and talk about Jerusalem and talk about the right of return and all of these different aspects, they are just, geopolitical nuances. However serious they are, they're geopolitical nuances on the ground that pale into insignificance comparatively to the ultimate spiritual battle that's on the line. Now, let me give you another illustration of this. First of all, both liberal and conservative politicians in Israel are saying that Israel's legitimacy is on the line and being attacked by the rest of the world. And they're right. For instance, Justice Minister Tzipi Livni has said just in the past, this month actually, said that Israel's legitimacy is under global attack. She's absolutely right. But then, way out on the right, political right, you have a member of the Knesset, Mr. Feiglin, Moshe Feiglin, who says that there is not even such a thing as a Palestinian nation. It's all a figment of the imagination, and therefore, he says, the very concept of a two-state solution is delusional, and he's right about that. He said the very recognition that there's a Palestinian nation that has rights in our country's heartland is a tragedy in and of itself. And he's right. He said when you surrender your sovereignty on the Temple Mount to the Muslim Waqf, and then you do not build it all in Jerusalem, what is it that's happening to you? You've lost your legitimacy. And he said, the only thing that will flow from this is rivers of blood. He's right. That is exactly what's going to happen, and that's what the Bible says is going to happen, and the prophets reiterate that over and over again. And in the meantime, the Arab League this week rejected the U.S. proposal by John Kerry that IDF soldiers would remain in the Jordan Valley for a 10-year period to try to preserve peace. They said there's not going to be one single... Here's another report from Haaretz in Israel. Not one Israeli soldier will remain in future Palestine. So, they're driving a hard bargain. And in the meantime, the Washington Post, a liberal publication in this country, has acknowledged that the White House, that is the Obama administration, and John Kerry are omitting facts about the Iranian nuclear deal that actually put Israel at greater risk. They've been hiding it, defrauding Israel by pretending one thing and actually doing almost nothing but pretense to cut down on the development of nuclear power there in Israel. In Iran. All right. Now, let's talk about what is coming up now. This next year, the new pope is scheduled to make his first trip. Originally, it was scheduled for May 25th. Then I've read another report that said it was coming in March of 2014. Whichever it is, it doesn't really matter. The point is, he's making a trip. But the Israeli authorities are already suspect about this trip. For one thing, it's only 48 hours long. And the other thing that is particularly suspect is that the Pope will not celebrate Mass in Israel, but in the city of Bethlehem, the traditional birthplace of Jesus. But even worse than that, they believe that he is selecting that place to affirm the Vatican's overarching favor to the Palestinian people as opposed to Israel. And that would line up with the historical relationship of the Vatican to Israel, which has been nothing less than very bad. In fact, it was not until, 1993 or something like that, under the pontificate of John Paul II, that the Vatican even purported to recognize Israel as a legitimate country. The Vatican has never had any love lost for Israel. Never. They have always demonstrated their sympathy toward the Arabs and the Muslim world. And so, we have here inter-involvement with the Vatican that John Kerry now is wanting to give authority over Jewish lands, Jerusalem, to rule in some sort of a geopolitical triumvirate over the land that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I tell you, things are happening very quickly, my friends. And I suggest to you, people, get ready. Jesus is coming soon. We'll be coming home. How soon, I cannot tell you, but get ready. Become a partner, will you? And I do mean that. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. God bless you and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.